Today's episode of the Can Be Now podcast is brought to you by Gustafson Insurance, business, home, and auto insurance made simple. For a free quote, call 503-266-2216.
They only listen to me half the time anyway, right?
You think it's that high? Wow, that's generous.
Yes! Go, Cammy!
This is an intervention.
Oh.
Not voting.
Oh, okay.
That is the coolest coffee trick I've ever seen.
I'm gonna put a little bit more blackberry.
End of podcast because of that.
I owe you some audio equipment.
Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Frankie.
And I'm Tyler Clausen.
It's not exactly a secret that we are living in a time where nastiness, aggression, and incivility are seemingly at an all-time high. You don't need to go much farther than your Facebook newsfeed or Twitter timeline to see ample evidence of that fact. But the toxicity of social media is spilling over into the real world, or perhaps it's vice versa? Whatever the causal direction, Canby Police Department Lieutenant George Trow, a veteran of law enforcement for over 23 years, says that instances of aggression and defiance toward officers is definitely on the rise.
I've seen it over the last few years, where there's people have been a little bit more aggressive towards police, a little more defiant towards police. And I don't think it's just us, but we have definitely seen it at Canby. But I think it's, area-wide. I mean, from Portland to, other departments too. But we've definitely seen an increase here.
Though the Canby Police Department does not necessarily keep track of such things, Lieutenant Trow says he reviews the calls that come in, and the numbers of aggressive incidents toward police are increasing, as are the instances where individual officers have to request backup for traffic stops or other routine matters.
Just the other day where somebody was acting out, and it was in front of, it's kind of like by Dutch Bros and the FOB tap room, in that little shopping center. And I think that's why I think some people saw it and then it was like, wow, kind of seeing what the police deal with firsthand. It was someone really acting up and yelling and, being resistive. Resisting and stuff like that. And it's a tough spot for our officers to be in.
The reasons for such an increase aren't clear, but many in law enforcement believe it is linked to increases in drug use and mental illness, as well as the lack of support and services for those suffering from mental health crises.
When I started, there were definitely more options for people that are having, like a mental breakdown or something. Damage was actually open and stuff. So I think there's just less resources and less help out there, and I think it's I think it needs to be addressed sometime soon.
The solution to the problem is not really any clearer than its cause. Increased police presence and visibility, i.e. more officers, would be helpful, of course, but the city of Canby, like all local governments, has a finite amount of tax revenue that must be divided between many competing interests and needs. Outreach is also important because the more the community sees police in a positive, non-enforcement setting, the less likely they might be to be aggressive or violent toward them under different circumstances. This is something Canby PD already does a pretty good job in, but Trow admits they could always do more. In the end, it probably won't be any one answer. Complex problems require multifaceted solutions.
The Canby City Council has authorized Mayor Brian Hodson to send a letter to Legislature's Joint Committee on Ways and Means, addressing concerns about the potential cuts to state transportation funds that could drastically impact the services Canby Area Transit provides to local seniors and people with disabilities. CAT, and it's really funny here, Frankie has a note to tell me that it's pronounced CAT, like I haven't lived here in Canby my entire life. Anyway, receives approximately $120,000 from the state annually in the form of Special Transportation Funds, or STF, which are set aside to serve the transportation needs of disabled and senior Oregonians. However, the new biennial budget proposed by Governor Kate Brown included no general fund to STF, and the revised budget put out by the Ways and Means restored only a portion of it. Cambie Transit Director Julie Welling says that there is some speculation that legislators may have mistakenly conflated STF funding with new statewide transit improvement fund, also called STIF. You can probably see why they were confused.
There's reason to be concerned that the legislators and other people might confuse STF dollars with the new transit funding source that was established by House Bill 2017, which is called the Statewide Transit Improvement Fund, or STIF. So these programs are very different. And as I mentioned, STF is specifically for seniors and people with disabilities, and STIF has a much broader scope. It's expected to address low-income transportation and also students and solutions for improved connections between regions.
It's a serious problem because CAT isn't eligible for STIF funding, at least not under the existing regulations. If they lose all of even a portion of the STF funding they currently receive, there's a good chance that they may have to cut back on some of the trips they currently provide for Cambie residents to local medical, education, and employment services in Oregon City without having to transfer between CAT and TriMet halfway. Imagine forcing frail and often ill individuals to transfer between services in the midst of an 8 to 10 mile trip to and from a medical appointment, Mayor Hudson's letter says. So far this year, CAT has provided 7.6 transferless rides per service day. These trips are provided to the most vulnerable individuals. The letter urges the Ways and Means Committee to restore the full $10 million to the STF program received in the previous biennium. Without it, Mayor Hudson fears that the CAT services like the one we just described could be soon going away. These programs already operate with limited revenue and provide lean, efficient, coordinated services, he wrote. Many STF programs have nothing left to cut.
An attempt by the Bristow Group to acquire Aurora-based Columbia Helicopters in a $560 million blockbuster deal earlier this year was horribly botched by its chief financial officer, according to a scathing letter released to the public by one of Bristow's largest shareholders. Bristow Group, which is based in Texas, and Columbia announced the acquisition in late 2018, but it fell apart only a few months later. Instead, Bristow, Columbia, and Columbia shareholders agreed to release each other from all claims in connection with the purchase agreement and the related transactions, and Bristow agreed to pay Columbia $20 million for their trouble. Since then, Bristow's stock value has, I don't know if plummeted is a strong enough word. According to the letter published this week by Bristow shareholder Global Value Investment Corp, aka GVIC, Bristow's common stock closed on April 17th at 52 cents a share, representing a five-year decline of 99.3%. This decline is unacceptable, no kidding, says the letter signed by GVIC President and CEO Jeff Gagan, going on to say that they question the competence and intent of Bristow's board of directors. GVIC's letter called for the immediate resignations of four members of that board of directors, but they also took issue with the company's CEO, Don Miller, who was just promoted to that position last month. Previously, he was CFO, and according to GVIC, much of the blame for the collapsed Columbia deal rests with him. It was on Mr. Miller's watch that the financing for Bristow's proposed acquisition of Columbia Helicopters, Inc. was so horribly botched, resulting in a proposal to dilute existing equity holders by approximately 93%, Gagan alleges. Given Bristow's apparent troubles, it seems for the best that Columbia is remaining in the hands of the LaMotta family and its existing management, at least for the time being. Founded by Wes LaMotta in 1957, Columbia is a leader in heavy lift helicopter operations and manufacture, maintenance, repair, and overhaul services. It serves clients across the globe in industries that include defense, firefighting, onshore oil and gas, infrastructure, and forestry. Columbia reported gross revenues of approximately $281 million million in the previous 12 months and earnings of $117 million before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. It operates a fleet of 21 tandem rotor helicopters out of its home airport, West La Mata Field, at Aurora State Airport.
Police beat for the week of March 26th through April 1st. On March 28th at 11:11 a.m., police responded to the report of someone making a wish. I'm just joking. That'd be dumb. They responded to a report of stolen vehicle registration stickers from a vehicle parked at a residence on South Ivy Street. Later that day at 3:53 p.m., someone found a suspicious substance that they turned into the police. Not sure how they turned the substance into a police officer, but sounds like we have a wizard on our hands. I'm joking. I don't know what's up with me today. It tested positive for methamphetamine and was disposed of. And at 5:18 p.m., a commercial vehicle was stopped on South Sequoia Parkway for violating the posted truck route and for vehicle light violations. On March 29th at 10:30 a.m., police responded to a report of an identity theft after a victim was notified that a cell phone account had been activated in their name without their knowledge or approval, which makes me feel like maybe our Cambi iPhone bandit is still at large. On March 30th at 8:13 p.m., officers were dispatched to conduct a welfare check at a local home. Sadly, police found that the subject was deceased. On March 31st at 5:41 p.m., police received a report of, quote, heated verbal exchange that occurred on Southwest 1st Avenue. A man reportedly brandished a knife, ooh, fun, and then left the scene on a bicycle. Because there's nothing cooler than brandishing a knife and then pedaling away on a bike. Later that night at 7:50 p.m., officers stopped a vehicle that was driving over 90 miles an hour on Knightsbridge Road. The driver was arrested for driving under the influence and reckless driving. Finally, on April 1st, happy April Fool's Day, but this is no joke, people. This is a serious kind of prank, almost. At 1 p.m., officers received a report of a scam. This one involved a victim being contacted by a person posing as a member of their church. What was the scam, you ask? Well, I'm sure you can guess it. Gift cards. They just wanted you to buy some gift cards for cancer patients. Wow, they're getting super dark. True story. When we first started the Cambi Now podcast, we were looking to buy some stickers, just something to help us get our name out there. We didn't have a lot of money, so we tried to do everything as cheaply as possible online. We wound up with 1,000 of these teeny tiny cheap looking stickers. Not exactly the impressive swag we were hoping for, but you know, you get what you pay for.
Yes, you do. If we had been smart, we would have gone to see Carrie at Promotional Strategies. She's a real live human and a creative genius who would deliver practical, strategic ways to promote your business on any budget. If you're looking for high quality swag that you can be proud to see your logo on, Promotional Strategies is where you want to go. Find them at 695 Southeast 1st Avenue in Cambi or online at ps266swag.com. The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. Read by Ed Grotsky.
Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. The two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that made all the difference.
So I have a bunch of guests on the Cambie Conversation today. We have James Walton, the director of the Cambie Bible College, and their entire graduating class. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves? Start here.
Hi, my name is Courtney Amsetz.
I'm Kaylee Hanks.
My name's Nathan Bird.
I'm Jacob Fleur.
Yep, that's all of them. There's just four. so don't worry. I was wondering, the listeners are like, how many people are we going to go through right here? Thank you guys so much for being here. And we're just going to talk a little bit about who you are and what the experience at CBC has been like. Can you start by telling us just real briefly a little bit about yourselves? Again, we'll start with Courtney.
Sure. Yeah. So I am originally from California. And I knew I knew that the Lord just put on my heart to continue an education in ministry, and he led me here, and now I'm here.
So you're looking at going to nursing?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Okay. But, yeah, ministry, and it's been an amazing experience.
Okay, we'll talk about that. What about Kaylee?
I also am from California.
Okay,
so you can go ahead right along.
This is going to be a quicker interview than I thought.
No, I'm from California, and I was getting ready to graduate college down there. Was looking for something because I knew I felt the call to ministry as well.
Yeah.
I was looking for an internship, and Cambie Foursquare has an internship that just so happens that CBC is about half of it. So
yeah.
That's what brought me here. I just really wanted to do some more education and really start on the path towards ministry.
Cool. Okay, hopefully not a Californian over here.
So I was born and raised in Cambie, Oregon.
Yes. Should have started with you.
Okay, well,
just
yeah. And
anything?
I
go ahead.
I grew up in Cambie Foursquare, and that's how I knew about the Bible College.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I went was because I really...
it's mandatory?
No. Oh. It's all free will.
Is that what they teach
you?
Okay, cool.
But the reason I did it was so that I could build that stronger foundation in knowing what I believe, not just following my parents.
Yeah.
I wanted to be able to actually know and be able to believe it for myself.
That's awesome. What about you, Jake?
I also grew up in Cambie Foursquare Church.
Okay, cool.
All the students have passed through years... throughout the years going to CBC, and the interns, they weren't just interning at the church, they were also full-time students at CBC.
Uh-huh.
I grew up admiring quite a few of those
going through,
and they would serve in at the church as youth leaders, things like that. I actually grew up in Oregon City, so I wasn't living in Cambie, but I attended church here.
Yeah.
And one day... I was taking a ministry class, and somebody was praying over me, and I just really felt the call that God wanted me to go into the internship, and a huge part of that is CBC.
Yeah.
And I didn't really understand why. I was like, I didn't even know what I was really looking for, other than, you know, a firm foundation. At the time, I was like, what does that mean?
Right.
A firm foundation in God, but... That's when things change.
Right. Right.
Took off.
Firm foundation's just Jesus, right? That's all you need to know. Then you just move on. Right?
Yeah, you just figure it out.
Yeah. That's what the song that I've heard tell me about. Cool. Well, that's given me some good insight, I think, James, into the marketing approach for CBC. It's Cambie Foursquare in California.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk to you real quick, just a little bit about CBC before we come back to the students. And tell us a little bit about what happens here and what you see as your work as a director. I've This is my, I've been to like a chamber event here, but this is really my first time being here. I've like driven by Canby Bible College millions of times and always kind of wondered a little bit what it's like. I don't know if there might be other folks in the community or people listening right now that are kind of curious what happens in that weird little thing across the street from the church.
Yeah, it's true. So I'm James, and I get the privilege of serving as the dean of Canby Bible
Did
College.
Did I keep saying it wrong?
That's all right. Okay. It's no big deal.
It is a
mostly
the
what,
door, so
yeah.
I should have.
Yeah, mostly what I do is I just help serve. This is a learning community that's dedicated to helping students learn to love and lead like Jesus. And so it's a two-year school. We offer an associate's degree in Christian ministry. So through the course of 60 credits that can transfer to probably half a dozen, actually now 7 or 8 different four-year schools. So students have an opportunity to go on from here, but they're going to get a foundation in every book of the Bible, as well as a deep insight into leadership and Christian ministry. So, and it's done without any debt. So we use a business model that relies heavily on the generosity of outside supporters so that the students themselves can experience this program without having to incur any sort of student loans. So
that's
that
really awesome.
That their next step can be wherever they feel the Lord is leading them, whether it's inside a ministry context or in a marketplace. We want to develop leaders who know how to love Jesus and serve people well.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, coming back to you guys, we have a couple of questions that James, like a true dean of a Bible college, has written on the whiteboard here. So hopefully you guys have had a few minutes to think through them and think how you'd like to answer them. Let's start with Jake this time.
Yeah.
The first question, what's been a highlight for you during your time at CBC? And how long does the 60 credits take? How long?
2-year program.
It's a 2-year program. So in your 2 years here.
In my 2 years here, big highlight.
Right
is,
now. This is it.
Right now. Yeah, this
what's
is
happening?
The highlight. This is the one.
That's an easy
highlight.
Question. Let's go on to the next one.
So the highlight is definitely the community.
Yeah.
The people here. You start working with some of the professors, and it takes a little while to get used to each professor's different teaching style.
Yeah.
But
did you know some of them through your growing up at Foursquare?
I knew James.
Yeah.
I knew James because he's pastor over
right.
at Canby Foursquare. Yeah, there was a couple. Pastor Dave Metzger. He's
mm-hmm.
also a pastor over there, and he teaches here. And I took one summer class the year before I started the internship and my full time here with Bob Myers. He's retired now, but he sold me instantly.
Yeah.
I was like, yep, I'm totally going to do this.
I love people named Pastor Bob. I don't know why.
Yes.
I've met a couple Pastor Bob. I just really like that Pastor Bob.
Yeah. It's perfect.
It is.
So that's definitely a highlight, is the teachers and the community that's here, that all the students
cool.
are gathered here in this, because there's not very many of us. You get
right.
to know each other pretty quickly.
Right.
And all of the professors are just so willing to walk beside you and work with you and
mm-hmm.
figuring out there might be something that you just don't understand. They're going to help you figure that out.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's okay to be like, you're not going to understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Are there aspects of the, I guess, and maybe this is a question for you, James, as well, that, not subjective, but you know what I mean? Like, it's more in spiritual terms. It's not always kind of like, this is the answer. It's more of a, more personal or more, a little more opinion. I don't know. I'm
no,
probably
I,
saying
I,
a lot of
I think
wrong
it
words,
feels
but,
like you're, what you're trying to say. So, Canby Bible College is proudly Foursquare in its affiliation, which is a wonderful Christian denomination. But Canby Bible College also, what I tell people is, we're not as interested in teaching you what to think as we are in how to think.
Mm-hmm.
And so, consistently throughout all of our courses, we want to try to lay out like what we feel like the best scholarship is saying around a given thing. But more importantly than that, we want to equip you to be a lifelong learner that's able to discern truth from untruth, that's able to read through and past and into difficult issues, recognizing that there's more than often just black and white around
yeah.
a given issue, that the world is complex and our response to it should be nuanced and filled with grace and wisdom.
Yeah.
And so I'm grateful for that opportunity to be able to help shape the lives and thinking of young people especially,
so that as they go out from here, they're given a set of tools that allows them to navigate a very complex world.
Yeah. That's awesome. And I think that's maybe a stereotype of like Christian schools or Christian education, that it's more of like an indoctrination factory.
Yes. Indoctrination versus education.
And
we try to major on education.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Nathan, what's been a highlight for you?
I think the biggest highlight so far, or I guess so far would be, yeah, it's so far because I'm graduating, would be the faculty, the teachers, the professors, the people you see every day that are there for you to help you grow, to help you learn. In almost pretty much every one of my classes, the teachers would make a personal connection, and that's really only available because of the smaller class sizes. But those connections, the fact that they know your name, know a little bit about you, know more about who you are than just, oh yeah, he's the kid who sits in the back every week.
Right.
No, like, they know who you are, and they're teaching you.
Oh, that's Nathan who sits in the back every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I sit in the front, but that's okay.
Okay.
There's only two rows, so.
Yeah.
It's real easy.
Yeah.
But it's that personal connection that happens with the professors that just makes the teaching, the wisdom they're imparting, so much more valuable.
Cool. Awesome. Kaylee?
Yeah, I think I have to agree with Jake and Nathan. The community here is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's the community of students together, you know, building those relationships, or the community with the teachers and James and Angie and everybody else who's involved, just coming together as one group and being here with these guys. It's great to just be in a place where everybody's on the same page, if not close.
Yeah.
You know, we're all here because we want to get this foundation, and we want to learn about Jesus, and we want to be told that it's not about us, but what is it about? And it's just been good to not only learn those things and do those things with the teachers, but with each other, and just learn those things with each other and bounce ideas off. And I don't know how many conversations we've had with each other that have just been like, oh my gosh, God is doing this thing, let me tell you about it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just been good.
Yeah, yeah. We're recording this actually on Good Friday, so I don't know if that's the reason, but Kaylee's wearing a shirt that has a bunny on it. So
very
it's
Easter. Bunny.
Yeah, very.
Are we allowed to say that? Is that copyright?
I don't think Disney listens to this.
Okay.
Is it Disney? I don't even know.
I think it's Warner Brothers.
Oh yeah, 100% is Warner Brothers. Thank
now
you.
Now we're
Dave.
Definitely getting Dr. Bolton.
Yeah. Actually, Warner Brothers, if you are listening, you can contact us at advertising@cameo.com for sponsorship opportunities. But. And Courtney.
Shameless
plug. Highlight for you. Yeah. Always get those plugs in there.
I'm going to have to jump on the bandwagon. Our faculty is amazing. But I think a highlight within that is their openness and their transparency in their walk-in ministry. I mean, you can go to Bible college and you can learn all the scripture and all the doctrine, but it is one of the most refreshing, frustrating, amazing things to hear our teachers be transparent about, like, hey, this is what ministry is about. And kind of like what you're talking about, we're not always going to have the answers. We're humans, but we follow the Lord and we follow what he asks us to do, and to have real live examples of people who are in it right now just fuels that fire even more for I want to do this.
Yeah.
And it's so much bigger than us. I think that's what I've gotten from our instructors, is we are the vessels that the Lord is using, but it's so much bigger than us.
Mm.
And that's part of the community aspect of this place. We can't do it on our own, but together.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Cool.
So.
Cool. Graduation is when, James?
Graduation is next Saturday,
okay.
April 27th, 6:30 p.m. at Camden Foursquare Church.
Okay, coming right up.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys probably have some idea of what your next steps are. Can you talk a little bit about what's next for each one of you and how your time here has prepared you for it? Let's start with Nathan. I'm looking at him.
So,
what's next for you?
That's a big question.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the most upfront questions you can have when you're a young person graduating in anything.
Sure.
But I think right now the best option for me would be going to some sort of real, like what we would be considered normal workplace job.
Yeah.
like not a church, not ministry, but just I'm gonna work at a camp, or mm-hmm. I'm gonna work at some sort of business.
Yeah,
and
I'm gonna be at a desk. Gonna yeah. Be, yeah,
it may not office. Sound like CBC prepares you for that in any way, but for those sort of jobs, the community interaction, being able to connect with the leaders, that type of stuff, I feel has prepared me so much more so than just going to a normal college where you just get told a bunch of facts and then you tell the professor those facts.
Yeah.
But it was actual growth. I saw people, I met people, I connected with people, and that relationship building skill that CBC has distilled on me is so valuable for that type of workplace.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for highlighting that. And I do think that's oftentimes a little bit of a failure in our education system, is that we teach people things, but not really how to be good people or how to live good lives. So that's really cool. What about Kaylee?
Well, I'm looking at continuing my education.
Okay.
I have a 4-year degree already, and it had 0% to do with the Bible. So coming here was great because I can get that biblical foundation and now I can move forward. I want to
slap some Bible on top of what you already had. Nice. What was your degree in? Did you already say?
Graphic design.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to move towards my master's and look at getting some more.
Master of the visual arts.
No, master strategic leadership.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
you know,
I tried.
Church things ministry.
I think master of visual arts sounds cooler, but whatever.
Yeah, thank you. and just continue in getting some training to be a leader and be in ministry.
Are there other ways that your experience here has prepared you for that, you think, other than just getting that biblical knowledge? Or?
Yeah, it's taught me how to do life with people.
Yeah.
It's taught me how to, you know, to not just try to do this whole one man, me and God against the world kind of thing.
Yeah.
And be in community and love people well and be able to go to my leaders or my friends and say, hey, I'm struggling with this, pray with me, or hey, this is what I'm thinking about, what do you think? And just getting the wisdom and the insight from other people so that I don't have to do this on my own. So
cool.
A quick shameless plug, Kaylee Hanks has been running the Canby Bible College Instagram account for the last several months.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
If you go to Canby Bible on Instagram, you're going to see a huge portfolio of her work, and she's available for hire, and I encourage you to do that.
Thank you, James.
I actually do love that Instagram. Cool. Courtney.
Yeah. So I will be heading home. And I want to further my degree, but I know that costs money. So I'm going to jump and start working full-time somewhere in the hopes of going towards that. Serving at my local church back home and doing that. But yeah, just getting back on my feet financially and just asking God what's next.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you think your experience here has prepared you for whatever comes?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that I can take away from CBC is showing up matters.
Mm.
No matter what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Showing up matters and putting your best foot forward and being okay with failure.
Mm-hmm.
Being okay with failure, because when you show up and you give your best, good things come out of it. And especially with the community, as Kaylee was talking about, like, this is a place where perfection is not the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
It's community and putting your best foot forward and loving on each other. So that's
awesome.
What it's taught me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. And last, but definitely not least, and you guys, I don't know if it comes through, but Jake is over 9 feet tall. So definitely a substantial individual we're wrapping up with here. What's next for Big Jake?
Well, I just want to share something, that there's a joke around here that we have at CBC that if you're taking a test and you don't know the answer, you just write Jesus is the answer.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes... like, the professors don't know what to do at that point.
Right, exactly.
They're
can't
like,
say
they're not
that's
wrong.
That's a catch-22.
That's kind of how I feel
Jesus
when people ask
no.
me this question. I just want to say, Jesus is the answer.
Yeah.
Take me. And he'll take me to that
I'm
next place.
I'm not affiliated with CBC, though, so I can edX that as much as I want.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. There's like 4 different ways that I could go from here.
Yeah.
And that it really is a blessing that there's that many options for me.
Cool.
But I'm looking at going in growing out to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Mm. That's where my family is. They moved out there this last summer, and they're doing really well out there. And our previous dean at CBC, Jeremy Wallace, he's out there working. He's got all these different ministries. He has young adults in the house church out there. And
cool.
So I'd be serving with him and also getting a job, like Nathan said, mm-hmm. one of those things that while you're here at CBC, it's not just, you're learning about ministry. And one yeah. of those things is that ministry isn't just on a stage or in front of a pulpit.
Yeah.
The ministry is everywhere yeah. out in the community.
Yeah.
It's just everyday life that's how you should live and go out and love God and love people. And that's one of the goals. That's the big takeaway from this that I think is the big focus that God wants me to keep in mind, that no matter where I am, that I'm with Him and out there serving people.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you guys so much for your time. I am wish you guys the best. I'm sad that the Camby Bible Instagram is about to get a lot worse after this Saturday, so that's too bad. But thank you for doing that, Kaylee. We're going to wrap up real quick here with James and just ask you, so this is my first Camby Bible graduating class. How many is it for you?
I've been serving here as a faculty. Well, I was actually part of the 2007 graduating class myself as a student, and I've been on faculty here since 2010, but only the dean since 2 years ago. So this will be my second graduating class.
Okay. And you've seen a lot of students come through.
I have seen a lot of students, and these are some of my favorites.
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask you, just these students here or this class in general, if you want to talk more in general, what do you think about when you kind of think about them and think about what you hope or think is next for them?
I want to say that I get the privilege of showing up to work here every day and partnering with a group of really intentional, thoughtful young people. And these four in particular, like the climate changes when they walk in a room, the energy level that they bring, the enthusiasm for Jesus, for others, for just having fun.
Right, the literal climate, because Jake is so tall.
Yeah, it's true, it's true. It just brings down this high-pressure system from the slopes.
It affects the atmosphere.
It's true. So these guys have just been really fantastic. It's been a joy to be able to work with them. And each of them have unique skills and just a real special giftings in their own way. And I'm really excited to see where their life takes them from here. I'm excited that CBC has been a part of their story and that they can look back and draw upon the resources that they've developed here that have been invested in them, no matter where the future holds.
Awesome. Thank you, guys, and congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Tyler.
So I'm here with Derek Hill, president of Advantage Mortgage in Camby. I was wondering what's going on in the mortgage industry right now.
The mortgage industry is on fire right now. The big thing that's really exciting for us is that we are now an independent mortgage broker, which means that we can offer substantially lower rates and lower fees for our customers. For example, we just got a loan last week and the realtor said, hey, I think you should go talk to Derek at Advantage Mortgage. And sure enough, we got the borrower 3/4 better rate, and we saved them $14,000 in fees.
Cool. So where can people find you?
So office number is 503-266-5800, or they can find us on the web at findtheadvantage.com. But most people just give us a holler or they stop in.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Derek.
You bet. Advantage Mortgage, NMLS number 1770599. Derek Hills, NMLS number 50183. Equal housing opportunity.
The great outdoors. Sometimes you just gotta get away to a place where life is simpler. The air is clean and the nearest ringing phone is about a million miles away. One of the best places that we found is My Cowboy Cabin near Joseph, Oregon, in the heart of the Eagle Cap Wilderness.
Eagle Cap is the largest unspoiled wilderness area in Oregon, with breathtaking views of granite mountains and crystal clear lakes, and more than 500 miles of trails to explore. It's one of the premier hiking, fishing, and hunting destinations in the Pacific Northwest. My Cowboy Cabin is open from Memorial Day weekend through Labor Day weekend, and can be reserved on a weekly or monthly basis, depending on availability. With a cabin that sleeps up to 8 people,
and also a teepee that sleeps 8 or more.
That's right. It's perfect for family vacations, retreats, reunions, and more. Find out more at mycowboycabin.com. There's a lot going on this weekend in Canby, and like always, you can count on us getting out and about to tell you all about it. First up is Lisa Hand of Windhorse Antiques in Aurora, who tells us about the second annual Jane Austen Tea and Fair that's on tap this weekend. For tickets and other information, see the article on our website, canbynowpod.com. After that, you'll hear about what just might be the biggest garage sale in Canby history.
Why
are you so obsessed with Jane Austen?
Why am I so obsessed with Jane Austen? Yeah, no, it's what's really interesting is that my time frame is actually Victoriana.
Okay.
I grew up really helping my mother. She was one of the Victorians that restored Howard House in Akron, Ohio, when it was donated to the University of Akron. And I have always been very focused on Victorian. I have a very, very dear friend who I actually met through a Jane Austen event that I was a vendor at, who taught me about Jane Austen and the time frame, and her name, she goes by Theodosia. And so she's my muse for all things Jane Austen.
Okay.
And starting a couple years ago, I was looking at what I was doing, and I'm not just an antique dealer, I'm an educator as well. I like to teach history. I like to teach about the things that I sell. Mm-hmm. And so I started looking at doing events that were more focused on that.
Cool.
And I did start with a series called Talks with Tea, which were topics on specific items accompanied by a small tea. And she started bending my ear about doing a Jane Austen event.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit over a year ago, she finally talked me into it. And then I asked Kathy Jacoby of Red Dog Events if she would partner with me to put it on last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so since then, I have become very much obsessed with Jane Austen.
Oh, okay.
I've learned a lot more about the time frame and all the things that are related to that part of history, and all the it's a pivot point for a lot of what we consider modern society. So lot of things that were going on, the fashion and how you eat and how you organize a work day. Even it's where ice cream started and some of these other amazing stuff. And the more you look at it, the more you can be absolutely fascinated with it.
Yeah.
So I used to say I did antiques mostly from 1850 to 1950. And I now have changed that to say 1750 to 1950, gone back 100 years. So Theo asked me to do this and I asked Kathy to help. And so last year was our first year. We did a 1-day event. We had 2 seasons of tea and the accompanying fair, which was juried for dealers and vendors and displays related to Jane Austen.
Uh-huh.
And it was a very successful event. We sold the teas out several weeks before the event. There's an admission to the fair. We had about 100 people come to it last year.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to expand it out this year to 2 days, and we added a ball on Saturday evening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm extraordinarily excited this morning because I have been, the ball is a fundraiser for the Jane Austen Literacy Foundation, which I have been a literacy mentor since last fall when they first started accepting folks for that.
Uh-huh.
The head of the Jane Austen Literacy Foundation is Carolyn Jane Knight. She is Jane Austen's great, 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 great grandniece.
Oh, cool.
And she's one of the last of the families that grew up in the home.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been chatting with the organization and letting them know that we were doing this event. And I actually got to talk with Carolyn yesterday. So she's donating a couple items to our silent auction.
Oh, no way.
And we were actually in the Jane Austen Center in Bath, England. We were in their newsletter this morning about the event. Yeah, so I was like, it's England! Yeah, so yes, I'm totally obsessed now. So the idea is to get the reach out there on the program. It is teaching literacy through interacting with young people at schools that are in disadvantaged areas.
Yeah,
so cool. Encouraging them to read and to write and to go to their libraries.
Yeah, well, that's really cool to have that connection over in the Jane Austen family in England, and to have our little fair here in Aurora featured over there.
I know.
Really cool. So, I have to be honest that
when you first approached me, Lisa, about this event, like, it didn't, you know, necessarily tickle my personal fancy. I'm not the hugest fan of teas and fancy things. Although, as a writer, like, you know, you can't help but admire Jane Austen and her work. It's just a phenomenally talented writer. I mean, I put her up there almost, you know, with Shakespeare and folks of that stature. Yep. But I, you know, do love her work. But we, you know, we did the story and we posted on social media, and a lot of people are really excited about it. You know, as you mentioned last year, like, selling out, I imagine mm-hmm. you've seen similar excitement this year. Folks seem to really be wanting to get into it.
Yeah. The teas right now, we have four tea seatings this year, 'cause we've expanded to the 2 days. The both Saturday teas are sold out, and the Sunday afternoon one is sold out. The 11 o'clock on Sunday has tickets still available.
Yeah, cool. So yeah, what do you think?
Now, we do have some things that are interesting for gentlemen, because what you have to remember is that same time frame as Master and Commander. It's Poldark. Mm-hmm. It's, the Napoleonic Wars.
Sure.
I didn't get it arranged for this year, but the list for next year, we'll probably have a weapons master do a demonstration next year.
Oh, that would be cool.
We have dance demonstrations this year.
Yeah.
But yes, we're going to have some more gentlemen's things. We have encouraged our vendors to have gentlemen's things available, and I do have some in my booth. So.
Well, when are you going to do a fox hunt? I feel like that would fit into that era.
So. Oh, we might have a problem with that.
Maybe PETA might have a problem with
they
that.
They actually do them, but without live foxes anymore. So, I know that
they just run around in the
society,
woods.
Yeah, they take the scent and run with the dogs. Okay. Yeah, I know the Oregon Regency Society was talking about doing some type of equestrian event that might be up on the webpage eventually.
Okay.
But
cool. Okay, well, we're almost out of time here, Lisa, but my last question for you, what do you think is behind the excitement that you've seen, the excitement people have for something like this? Is it sort of tapping into that kind of maybe elegance would be a word that they don't necessarily get to do in everyday life?
Yes. And you know what's really interesting is because we don't actually do reenactment. We're customers.
Okay.
Because we're big tent. We want everyone who wants to have fun with this. If all you want to do is put a fancy hat on, please come and have fun.
Okay, cool.
Costumes are admired but not required.
Okay.
It's a more genteel, it's a more kind setup. We all want to have a good time and enjoy the day and ooh and ah over the putties and what people are wearing and what the gentleman might be wearing, because we will have at least one dandy there that I know of. We'll have several gentlemen in uniform.
Cool.
Who doesn't like a man in uniform? And it is stepping back away from some of the frantic, some of the nasty, some of the just not very kind things that sometimes go on in modern world and enjoying each other.
Cool.
It's, I think there's also something to be said for the style. The Empire Waist is a very flattering silhouette on all ladies.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody can dress up and enjoy and have fun, and it doesn't matter that we're all different sizes.
Cool.
And so I think it does have a lot to do with that you can just enjoy a common theme that speaks to a lot of people. I mean, I walked through several different things yesterday. I was handing out my postcards, of course. And I had, I love Jane Austen. And it's the clerk at Freddy's.
Hmm.
Or it's the lady behind me who's checking out going, oh, well, I haven't been to tea in forever. That's wonderful. I think it is just having that nice, elegant, and pleasant experience.
So the annual Hope Village Garage Sale fundraiser is coming up this weekend, and I have a couple folks on here to tell us about it. We have Tina Schimpf, the marketing coordinator for Hope Village, and a couple of residents and volunteers.
I'm Dalette Huffman, and I live here at Hope Village.
I'm Bob Kaufman, and I've lived here for 22 years now.
One of the founding residents, from what I've been told, Bob. Is that right?
Second residence to move in.
Oh, that's so cool. So you like it here a little bit, I guess?
Pardon?
You like it here a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, and whoever wants to jump in, but tell me a little bit about the garage sale, how long it's been going on, and kind of what it is.
It started in 1999.
Okay.
Out here on the parking lot.
So this is the 20th, then. Is that right? Did I do that
math
right?
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Good math.
Cool. The 20th one. And what was the purpose of it? Just to raise some funds, or did it have a particular thing you were trying to raise money for?
Well, one reason was that when people moved in here, they had a lot of stuff to get rid of because they were downsizing. And so this was a good way to get rid of it and make some money that went to the residence fund.
Yeah, makes sense. And what does the resident fund go toward?
Well, we've helped purchase a bus that we use here and... Sound system we're working on.
Yeah, cool. We're working on emergency kits for in case there's an earthquake or something like that. So
that's
great. Creating the emergency kits.
Yeah, wonderful. Dilette, you've been working hard on this year's event. What have you been doing? Tell us a little bit about what folks will see at this year's event.
This year's event. Okay, this is my second year of being the chairperson solo.
Yeah, when I first saw you, you had about 1,000 bags in your hands.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, I mainly delegate out the responsibilities to other people, but I'm in charge of the overall process of it all. And we have just this amazing group of volunteers, all residents here, a little outside help, but mainly the residents who just give of their time and set up the sale. The donations that come in range from furniture to tiny little computer things. And everything is washed and cleaned and marked, and you know, it's really merchandised very well.
Cool. We have some beautiful quilts that have been made, and we had a donation of some beer steins, about 100 of them.
100 beer steins, yeah.
They are pretty amazing.
Yeah. I mean, who needs 100 beer steins?
And that was just part of the man's collection. So he gave up part of his collection.
Oh, he just gave a little fraction back. Well, Tina, you and I just walked through this year's selection, at least as far as it's been set up right now. And the name, I think, Garage Sale, doesn't quite do it justice. I mean, there's like millions of items. If you guys have never seen it before, it's quite impressive. Like you guys have said, there's books and media. There's a lot of like home decor and different things.
Yes.
So definitely something to check out. And it sounds like it goes toward a great cause.
Yes. The residence fund buys things for the residents here that we might not be able to afford otherwise. Yeah. And 10% goes to a local charity.
Okay.
10% of the net profit goes to a local charity.
That's awesome. What's the charity that it goes to?
We haven't chosen this year yet, but in other years it's gone to the Canby Center. Things are events at the fire department. Event we had last fall went to the Canby High School music department.
Cool.
So we're always looking for places that are in need of help, too.
Wonderful. So it's going to be this Friday and Saturday, the 26th and 27th. Any particular times?
9 till 4.
Okay.
And come early because last year there were almost 100 people lined up at the door.
Oh, my goodness. People camping out overnight.
Yes. In fact, the first person showed up at 8 o'clock and they were
there. So it happens at Hope Village at the sign, I'll just say, community center. And will there be other signs directing people as well?
Yes, there's signs out on different street corners.
Look for the signs and come early.
Yes, come early. The best is there early.
Thank you so much. Nice to meet all of you, and thanks for all your work for this event.
Well, thank you.
Beer is practically an art form in the Pacific Northwest. And the FOB Taproom in Canby is one of the best places to enjoy all your old favorites and your new favorites. They have a constantly rotating selection of 36 of the best craft beers, ciders, and wines from right here in Oregon and around the world. Hey, Tyler, do you know what FOB stands for? That's right. It's Friends of Beer, and that's what they are.
Oh, well, the FOB Taproom also hosts an awesome trivia night on Wednesdays with tap takeovers and new release parties every month. There's always something going on, so come on by. Find them at the Canby Place on Southwest Berg Parkway and on Facebook and Instagram.
See you at the FOB. Don't you hate it when you're just getting caught up on your favorite show and then your video streaming service drops it without warning? Wouldn't it be cool if you could record unlimited programs at once and watch them whenever and wherever you want? Meet Easy Video from DirectLink, the only app-based TV service in Canby that includes most of the major live local broadcast channels, sports, and national networks. Easy Video is, well, easy. It's compatible with your Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smartphone, and laptop, so you have more options for how and where you watch TV. And the best part of all, Easy Video members save an average of $360 a year over traditional cable. Say goodbye to HD fees, DVR fees, equipment rentals, and costly installation. Go to directlink.coop/EZV or visit them at the corner of Southeast 2nd and Juniper Street in Canby to learn more about the future of TV.
And that's our show. Special thanks to our guests today, James Walton, Lisa Hand, Hope Village, and Canby Bible College Class of 2019, and to all of our sponsors who really make it possible to do what we do. We encourage you to check them out and help support the local small businesses who support us. Hey, if you like what you just heard and you are okay with putting up with me during allergy season, please let us know. Write a review for us on Facebook, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss our latest episode.
How did we do that? I mean, seriously, how do we do it? How do we get the incredibly talented local magician Scott Anderson to be a guest on our show for the second time? Well, a podcaster never reveals his secrets. But on our next episode, we will tell you all about Scott's brand new show, Impossibilities, which features another gifted illusionist, David Charvet. The show is appearing for the first time in Canby on May 4th, and all proceeds are going to the local Boy Scouts. Don't miss it.
If you have a news tip, an idea for a guest we should invite on the program, or suggestions of how we can improve, please contact us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Canby Now, or on our website, canbynowpod.com.